Ephesians 3, verse 9, we talked about this last time, and to make all men see what is the... Before I go any further, I do want to say thanks to Jason O'Neill Sunday. Amen. I really appreciate that. I really do. I really do. Got a lot of good reports from that, and I really appreciate you, Brother Jason. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. If you don't understand that scripture, I can't help you, because we started on that verse and then worked our way back. We talked about the armor of God, but we started on this verse, worked our way back to the beginning of Ephesians, because that verse is extremely important. Because the mystery, well, let me read and I'll let you sit down, then I'll tell you about it, okay? Places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. According to the eternal purpose. Verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Man, that scripture is so powerful. You can be seated. I may go a little farther. I may not. But if you weren't here and you hadn't heard the sermon, but to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. There was a mystery, Brother Dave, and the angels didn't understand it. It was something that God had kept hid from principalities and powers. And now comes the revelation of that mystery. And it was in Christ Jesus. The mystery was made known through Jesus. And the mystery that was fulfilled is this, that Jesus was going to bring all things under him, both Jew and Gentile. When Jesus came, Angie, he just didn't die for the Jew. He died for the world. And principalities, and it's amazing, when I read this scripture, we are the evidence of the wisdom of God. We show principalities and powers that God knew exactly what he was doing when he saved fallen Adam. When he took man and he saved him, we are the expression of the grace of God. We are the trophy of what God set out to do. The devil tries to convince you that you're not enough. The devil tries to convince you that, because he bases everything on your performance. When you perform poorly, your confidence in God goes down. Our confidence in God should never change based on our performance. Our performance should be better based on our revelation of God, yes. But our confidence in God should never change based on us, because this confidence has to be in him, not us. So we see the manifold wisdom of God, that God could take a broken sinner. Some people preach it like this. He could take a black heart, wash it in red blood, and make it white as the driven snow. Only Jesus can do that. In our sin, the angels didn't understand that because he didn't reveal it to them. As a matter of fact, I think sometimes the angels look at us and are mystified. Let me say it again. Angels look at some of us sometimes and they got to go, why does he love that thing? In all of their weakness, in all of their failure, why does he love them? Because God is love. Even in your weakness, God still loves you. And that has to mess with principalities and powers. Because the angels cry, holy, holy, holy. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, through all eternity, holy, holy, holy. And in all of that praise, what's interesting, in all of your mess ups, the moment you repent, God lends his ear from the holy, holy to you because he loves you. Oh, man, this is some kind of love that we just can't explain it. The fact that God could love you even though you're not perfect has to mess with them, but that's just how Jesus is. And the fact is, this, Kevin, has to become the motivator of our life to show principalities and powers that God knew exactly what he was doing when he showed his love and his grace to me, because in the middle of everything that I do, I still got a praise in my heart because I know where he brought me from. Amen. Now, I preached that before. It's so fun to talk about, though. He says, to the intent now these principalities in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the next verse is one I want to spend some time on. In whom we have boldness and access with. Oh, let's make sure we're reading this right. Because he says, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. By the faith of him. Our faith has to be in him. The only way we can have boldness and access with confidence is if our confidence is not in us, but our confidence is in the finished work of Jesus Christ, to let you know the death, burial, resurrection was enough that I can come boldly and walk into the throne of God and have access with confidence. How many people know somebody that's arrogant? How many people here have ever been accused of being arrogant? Wow, three people. The rest of y'all, sorry. Let me say that again. How many people have ever been accused of being arrogant? Raise your hand. Okay, there's a little bit more. There's a few more. And arrogance and confidence are different. You ever told somebody that? Man, you're pretty arrogant. I'm not arrogant. I'm just confident. And they're arrogant. But anyway. Arrogance and confidence is different, because in arrogance, you have all of your thoughts on you. You're arrogant in yourself. When you have confidence, you are confident in him. We live in a generation that missed the Old Testament. We live in a generation now that, Darren, hears a lot of New Testament, but not a lot of Old Testament. And they hear scriptures like this, and they think that they can walk into the presence of God living any old way. But when we read the Old Testament tells us how holy God really is. As a matter of fact, he would say, tell them not to touch the mountain or they'll die. That's how holy I am. You can't walk into the presence of God with arrogance. You must walk in with confidence, but you must also come with reverence. God doesn't let flesh glory in his sight. And if we try to walk into the presence of God in our own arrogance, we're going to get, let me just say that, you're not going to get there. We live in this generation that somehow Brother Eddie thinks I can do anything I want and walk into the throne of God, but there is protocol to getting into the presence of God. Not anybody walks into the throne of God. Can you say amen? Who's going to ascend to the high hill? I'm going to tell you, he that's got clean hands and a clean heart. If we don't have a clean heart, we can't get into the presence of God. So, Sam, it must begin with the blood of Jesus washing us clean, and we must have our confidence in him. Oh, this is fun. It's good to be back. We have boldness and access with confidence. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, what is it? Say it boldly. Boldness. To enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. See, here's the problem. If you don't understand the Old Testament, then you don't understand what this is talking about. You don't understand that there was protocol to going into the holiest. To get in there, there was some protocol. Amen? You just didn't get to walk in arrogance. No, there was a washing that took place. There was blood that must be shed. And that blood is what gave you access into that realm. You don't walk in anyway. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. It's not by the blood of calves and goats anymore, but it's by the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus is enough to get you in to the presence of God, because it's clean, it's pure, and it's holy. And he was tempted, yet without sin. Even though he was tempted in all points, he didn't sin. And that sinless blood gives you access. Your blood gets you in trouble. His blood gets you into the presence of God. If you don't believe your blood gets you in trouble, how many of y'all got your daddy's temper? I've heard people, well, it's just in my blood. It's just in my blood. Well, if your blood will get you in trouble. What got you there? It's so funny. I was talking to a guy yesterday, and he was talking about something. He said, well, it's this guy's daughter. He said, I'm going to tell you right now, she got her daddy's temper. I'm thinking, it's in her blood. Your blood will wreck you. His blood will save you. Your blood will mess everything up. His blood will correct everything and make all things new. You say, oh, we know this, but it's worth revisiting, because we've got to understand that our prayer life lacks because we don't have confidence. Sometimes we don't pray, bub, because we're afraid he doesn't hear us, because we're basing it on us. He said, you don't come in by your blood. You don't come in by your performance. You don't come in by what you have did and how your Bible study went and how your devotions are and whether your streak with God is good or not. He didn't say that. He said, you come in by the blood of Jesus. I'm here to tell you, it's enough to get you in there. Watch this, verse 20. By a new and living way, which he hath, what? For who? Through what? I know it's Wednesday, but we could shout on this. Oh, man, if we was a shouting church, we'd shout right now. By a new and living way, which he hath done. He did that for you. He consecrated it for you through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Let me tell you what Jesus did. He done away with the veil. He tore the veil. The Bible says from the top to the bottom. That may not mean much to you, but that means the tear in the veil started at the top. It didn't start at the bottom. If I stood before that veil and tried to rip it from the bottom, I couldn't do it. Something higher than me had to have it. Oh, you got to see the hand of God as he reaches down and he rips the veil. What is that veil? It's the flesh of Jesus. Aren't you glad that Jesus did what he did so you can have access? We're learning something, Andrew. We're learning that we got access into this grace. We got access by faith into the presence of God. Not only did he tear the veil, he tore down the wall. How deep, how wide is the love of Christ? I'm going to tell you how high it is. It's high enough for him to tear down the veil and rip the veil so that we can have access. Let me tell you how wide it is. It's so wide that he kicked down the wall and he tore down the wall that was between us. That's how wide it is. It doesn't stop. Jew, Gentile, it doesn't matter. I don't care where you've been, what you've done. The blood of Jesus is enough to get you saved. The blood of Jesus is enough to get you to heaven. And you're basing this on your performance yesterday. And he's saying, don't base this on you. Base this on me. Put your confidence in me. Make sure that you got it in him, because that's my access. Amen. By a new and living way, and having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart. A true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Listen to this. And our bodies washed with pure water. He's telling us something here, and we got to get this, Randy. He's saying you can't do anything you want and get in here. He's saying you got to have a true heart. Let me tell you what a true heart is. It's committed to Jesus on Monday just as much as it was on Sunday. Let me tell you what a true heart is. A true heart is a heart that, oh yeah, you make mistakes, but a true heart is a repenting heart. A true heart is a worshiping heart. A true heart is a heart that says, God, forgive me so that I can worship you again because I know what you did for me and I know where you brought me from and I don't want anything between you and I. A true heart doesn't do this. A true heart doesn't sin on Saturday and then try to walk into the presence of God on Sunday with no repentance. I don't know about you, but whether they have altar call or not, I still repent. Anybody get mad today? Don't raise your hand. The Bible says be angry, and you know which part of that's the hard part? Being angry ain't hard, is it? You know the hard part of that scripture is, and sin not. And sin not. And you know what's amazing? You know when you cross the line. I used my pre-pent today. We was at work and we needed some conduit. And they said, hey, there's some down there by the changing trailer. Why don't you go steal it, preacher? One of them said, you got church tonight. You can repent. I said, I might just pre-pent. I might just pull up and say, Lord, forgive me for what I'm about to do. Do you know what a heart that toward God, it's a repenting heart. That's why we teach this in this church. The altar is not a place of shame. It's a place of power. It's a place of relationship. Amen? This is a new and living way. A new and living way. Let us draw near with a true heart. To draw near with a true heart, you have to have your heart engaged. You have to have your heart in gear. The church can't be in neutral. We have to engage our heart toward Him. You know what we do? We get to decide what we place our will, our desires, and our emotions toward. And He's saying, you come toward me with a true heart. I want clean hands and a pure heart. With full assurance of faith, He says, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. I have heard very faithful people hold fast to their profession of faith. I have seen men die on deathbeds, and because they believed in divine healing, they would tell people around them, do not, no matter how bad it gets, do not take me to the hospital. I prayed beside their bedsides and watched them as they were taking their last breath because they held fast to this belief that God can divinely heal me, and it encouraged me. To see somebody believe something so deeply that no matter what came their way, but this kind of faith is even different than that. He says, for He is faithful that promised it. Oh. Some people got faith in their faith. They believe because they believe a certain way that their belief is what. It's not the fact that you believe. It's the fact of what you have your faith in. Do we understand the Muslim has faith and he believes Muhammad's teachings? He believes that. But because he believes an error, he's lost. Are you hearing me? Do we understand that the Jehovah Witnesses believe the Watchtower Society, the Mormons believe Joseph Smith, but they have their faith in something that is error. Now we have our faith in that which is true, for he is faithful. I promised it. So I hold fast my profession of faith without wavering. That's why I can say this so boldly. If the blood of Jesus doesn't get me to heaven, I won't be there. If the cross of Jesus wasn't enough, I'm not going to make it. Because on my best day, I fail him. And on my worst day, I'm ashamed of me. Can I get an amen? But on my best day, when I'm Green Beret Christian, Navy SEAL dedication, my consecration is so deep, I still fail him some way or another. So my confidence is not in me. My confidence is in him. That is my profession of faith. Hold fast your profession of faith. When everything in the world is against you, hold your profession of faith. I'm laying on the bed, the couch. I'm laying all over the place Sunday. I'm walking around. I'm saying, God, you're a healer. God, you're a healer. You're a healer. If you don't heal me, you're still a healer. That's my profession of faith. God, it's on you. God, you're able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that I ask or think. By the power that works in me, it's your spirit, it's your word, it's your promise. It's on you, God. Hold fast your profession of faith. Am I telling you? Listen, I'm not telling you. I'm not preaching that. Don't go to the doctor. I'm telling you, it was inspiring to see somebody that wouldn't yield to that. So what about us? When people look at us, Jenny Lynn, and they say, what do you believe in? I believe in Jesus. What denomination are you? I believe in Jesus. Where do you go to church at? We believe in Jesus. Well, they preach down there. They preach Jesus. I'm determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know why? My access is through Jesus. You know how I get into the throne? Jesus. You know who's on the throne? Jesus. I mean, what? It's, I go in his name. I go through his blood. I get there, and guess who I talk to? Jesus. It doesn't get any better than that. Y'all know my analogy. I'm going to use it tonight because it works right here real good. I'm pretty tight with Brother Eddie. I don't know if y'all can tell or not. I quote him more than any other person in the world. And when I first got to know him, he was a little scary. Maybe it was because I was going to his house to ask if I could marry his baby daughter. I knew him because he preached at the church that I went to for years. Man, he preached some good sermons there. I can still quote some of them from all those years ago. He was a little scary. I went in to sit down. Tracy looked at me and said, "Do you have butterflies?" I said, "I have bats." He knew what I wanted, I believe. Did you the first night? No. I felt like he did. Felt like he was staring a hole through me. I'm like, how do I do this? I didn't do it the first time. He said, "Well, I'm going to bed." Thank you, Jesus. But now I know him. Year after year after year after year. When I walk into his house, he doesn't care. I'm like, I'm part of the family. I just walk in, open the refrigerator, look around. "There's some bread over here if you want it." Yeah, he knows. It's a relationship. Now watch this. If I was going to see him, and you stood out in front of me, come on, stand out in front of me. And you said, you can't go in there. Oh, yes, I can. You're not allowed in this house. I'm allowed in that house. You know why? I got a relationship with somebody in that house. I want you to hear this. I don't know who you are to tell me I can't go in there. You don't know him like I do. Now, you're going to try to stop me from getting in there, but you can't stop me because he's mine. And here's what the devil does. But the problem is, here's the problem. You did this, you did that. You took his little baby daughter. He don't want you in there. He sends me payments still to this day for taking her. Okay, he don't. You can't stop me because I got a guy on the inside. No, that's way better than that. You can't stop me from getting in to my father's house because I got a guy on the inside. Now, you can tell me, any questions? I can show up and you can look at me and say, he doesn't want you in there. He heard some things about you. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to have to talk to him. No, but he really did. I'm here to tell you, he doesn't want you in there. Now, I know he used to want you in there, but because he doesn't want you in, I'm here to tell you, I know him, and before, I know he wants me in there, and what's his, do you hear me? You got access by faith. Move this thing out of the way and walk in to your promise. Man, go on in, but go in with reverence. Go in with a clean heart. It's really not that difficult, but the devil wants to make it difficult. Aaron, listen, I know what I'm talking about. The devil still tries to make me question my salvation. Anybody? I just wonder, when I get there, if my good will outweigh my bad. It won't! It won't. Oh, mine will, brother, mine will. You need to repent for your prideful spirit. I just hope when I get there. Brother John, it's so good to see you. I know you've been driving all over the country. Good to see you. Amen. It really is good to see you back. That guy's all over the place. It's good to see him here tonight. When I go into his presence, he said, you're going to go in and out and find pasture. I get how the devil can try to stop me from getting into there. But once I get in there, I don't see how in the world he can stop me from coming out. He said, you're going to go in and out. I go into the presence and I get what you once I'm in the presence of God, you're going to have a hard time stopping me from going out and telling somebody about how good he is because I've been in there. All right, thank you. Tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. How many people have a problem reading scripture sometimes? Raise your hand. When you go to the bank or the doctor's office or wherever you go and you look down and there's all these magazines and there's a Gideon Bible over there, you say, they have magazines? I didn't know they had them anymore. I didn't know that. They're there. They are there, right? Country Living. Yeah, they're still there. Women's World. Time. ESPN. How many people have ever, maybe I'm weird, but how many people have ever picked up an ESPN magazine or a magazine off one of the shelves that was like from 4 years ago? And you're sitting there reading it. Huh, I didn't know that. That's old. That's just old. I understand why it's out there. It's out there to distract you from God's word. It is strategically placed there, right? How many people have a Bible app? Raise your hand. Yeah, it's back here on the fourth page. How many people have it on the front page of your, how many people purposely put it on the front page? No, raise your hand if you got on the front, the very front screen of your phone. If not, I need your phones. We're fixing this right now. Because I promise you, your bank account is not more important than your Bible app. Get them, preacher.
Yeah.
It's hard to do after missing church Sunday. Your Bible app is the most important app on your phone, period. Let me try it again. Your Bible app is the most important app on your phone. Amen. Amen. You know why? Because it gives you access. You know why I have access? Through communication. It was years of conversation and getting to know him that I have access. Come on, Aaron. I don't know how long I've been. Come on. No, I can keep going on this for a long time. Because, man, this is so powerful. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let's go back to Ephesians real fast, Shane. Ephesians 3, what verse did I stop on? Do you remember? In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Next verse, watch this. I want to show you something real quick. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you. Remember we talked about Paul. He had a calling to take the gospel to the Gentiles. He went through a whole lot, right? He said, don't you guys get discouraged because of my tribulations for you, which is your glory. He said, don't get tore up about what I'm going through. This is what I was called to do. Next verse. For this cause I what? I do what? Do you know what bowing is? It's a position of reverence. He's telling us to come boldly, but he says come reverently. God is not the big man in the sky. Right? Jesus ain't your homeboy. He's your creator. And he made a way that we can have access into his presence. All right, I'm closing with this. If we ever get this, Tracy, if we ever truly understand this, our lost family should be nervous. Because when we walk into the presence of God and we talk to him, he can change things. Our community that is lost can be saved because we have access to the Father. What else could happen? What could we do, Sister Alice? Year after year after year, we've prayed. But when we ask, we got to be careful not to ask amiss. Sometimes we ask and we don't even think it's going to happen. Hold fast your profession of faith. So in summary, here we go. It's time to start praying like this. God, here's what I need you to do. I need you to heal because you're a healer. And you made access to healing through your stripes. God, I need you to save because you're a savior. My confidence is in who you are. And I'm praying to you because you are who you are. You don't go to Home Depot or Lowe's to buy vegetables. Maybe to plant, you do. You don't go there to buy ravioli, do you? Anybody? Anybody ever went to Home Depot and said, hey, where's your French toast? You know why you don't do it? Because they don't have it. Have you ever went to the grocery store and got mad because they didn't have what you wanted? Because they were supposed to have it? When you go to him, you go to him because he has what you're looking for because of who he is. He's not claiming to be anything else. So when I walk in there, I'm talking to a savior. I'm talking to a healer. I'm talking to a deliverer. I'm talking to a person that can lift people up. I'm talking to a chain breaker. I'm talking to an anxiety remover. I'm talking to a depression breaker. And Darren, I got to come in there confident that I'm coming in through the blood. Man, this ought to change our prayer life. This ought to change the way we pray. Man, I want to talk to you one more second. The devil's lying to you. He's saying God hasn't answered your prayer yet. That means he's never going to. The devil's a liar. The devil is a liar. He said, I won't withhold any good thing from you. So let's pray. Let's pray. Let's really pray. You know what, Johnny? I want God to save Nick. I want him to set his soul on fire for the kingdom of God. Take a minute and talk to him. What do you need? What do you need? Whatever you need, that's what he is. He's able. God, forgive me for everything that I've done that's unlike you. God, wash me clean. Everything that I've done that's unlike you. God, forgive me for my sins that I've knowingly done and those sins that I've committed without even knowing. God, wash me clean. Wash me clean in your blood, in the blood of Jesus that was applied. Cleanse me, oh God, through the blood that you provide. And God, now that I'm cleansed, God, now that I'm washed, God, I want to walk into your presence right now and want to ask you, Lord, for your glory so you'll be lifted up. God, would you save them? God, would you heal them? God, can you do it right now? I want you to take this prayer as serious as you ever took a prayer. And ask him right now. Ask him. Do it, God. Do it. Do it. Show up. You are who you say you are, and you do what you say you can do. My confidence is in you. My confidence is placed in the right spot because you're able, you're able, you're able. The devil's lying to you right now and telling you this don't mean nothing. The devil doesn't understand how serious you can get. He's pushed you around so long. Don't let him stop you from praying right now, right now, right now, right now. Right now, right now.
I renounce the lie that I don't measure up. I renounce the lie I'm unworthy of your love. And when shame comes knocking and fear starts talking, I will lift my hands in your presence. You remind me who I am.